incredibly simple plan he has made for all of us. So let's start at the beginning. Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Not two earths or seven, just one. And how many moons did he create for us? Kids, do you know how many moons he created? Well, let's compare it to, like, say, Jupiter. So, do you know how many moons God created for Jupiter? At last count, 79. Astronomers aren't even sure we've accounted for all that God has created there. Can you imagine how busy our nighttime sky would be with 79 of those moons floating around out there? We'd have an eclipse like every month. But for us, God simplified things. He created one moon for Earth so we could see. And the last few nights, I don't know if you've been outside, but we've had a pretty full moon the last few nights. Just one. That moon regulates our oceans and helps us keep time, all with just one moon. And when he created his children, he kept it simple. And I've noticed the children's story got into this a little bit too. It's funny how the Lord aligns our stories. I didn't even talk to the children's story author at all this week, but the Lord's been talking to both of us. So let's go to Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, and see how the Lord kept it simple in creating his children. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So that's not thousands of grown adults all at once, but only one man and one woman. A simple beginning to a complex world of cultures, faiths, and tongues we live in today. The instructions for them were simple. Going to verse 28. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it." So reading further, God gave Adam and Eve one simple but serious request. So let's go to Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 through 17. And I don't mind if you have your own Bibles at home. You could check it on the screen or thumb through your Bibles. I'll give you a moment to find it. And it reads as follows. "And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die.'" Now we get to the hard part of simple things. The requests the Lord made of them and ultimately of us are simple, but following them can be hard. Adam and Eve sinned by disobeying this simple request from their heavenly Father. The results of that sin are experienced in the pain we are seeing and hearing in the world today. It's really painful to me, the chief of sinners, to realize sin is not only the results, only results in this pain, but it also has the potential to separate me and you from God. Fortunately, there is a way out. There's really one way out. And you know what, church family? It's not rocket science. I know because I've seen rocket science, and it looks a little bit complicated. So what I do know about rocket science is there's some math involved, and that may have already turned a lot of my brothers and sisters off. But to be honest, I don't even know if this is all one equation on the slide or a collection of equations. There are some pretty brilliant people watching today that could know for sure, but I could say it's pretty similar to what is required for a man to get a rocket off the ground and take it to a space station that's 200 miles above the Earth. Just so you know, that's as far as we can go right now in 2020 when we were supposed to have flying cars at this point. But you know what? That's rocket science right there. But God developed a way to eternal life and freedom from this painful sin in utmost simplicity because he loves us, each and every one. It's sort of an equation set to poetry. I suggest we all look it up together, and you could say it with me if you want, because I would love to hear you all today. So let's go to John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. John chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. And it reads as follows from the New International Version. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the definitive answer for the forgiveness of sins and to resolve all of our complex problems. Losing sleep over these things is really not the answer. So what do we do now with the difficult struggles of our day? Well, Jesus has given us a simple template by which we can live our lives, not just through these uncharted waters, but every day. And it's found in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. And I will say, in most of these passages where Jesus is speaking, he tends to simplify things, not because they're hard to understand, but because he's trying to make the way straight for us so that we don't have distractions and folks who like distractions to complicate things and make it feel hard to reach and connect with our Heavenly Father. So it reads as follows in chapter 22 of Matthew, verses 34 to 40. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus then simplified the Ten Commandments into these two responses, moving to verse 37. Jesus replied, love the Lord with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. In this complicated environment we live in, you can make your life experience and that of those around you so much better by hanging all of your questions and concerns on these commandments. You know, I remember back in the day, maybe some of you don't, but there was a kind of a movement here in the United States where there was a little bracelet that used to be handed out by Christians that would say WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I think the initials are there, but they're backwards. I think it's WWDJ. What will you do for Jesus? Because all of this is expressing your love for Jesus and taking action for him. So the question is, such as, what do I do now dealing with the ills of the world, both social and physical? Jesus replies for us, love others as you would love yourself. Hey, Gene says here, all I need to do is accept Christ. Does that mean I get to put down my Bible? Jesus replies, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That means you need to do all you can to know the Lord your loving God better. Let your actions show that you are one with God. Do His will. What other way is there to love Jesus with full commitment? Think about it. What other way can we do that? We need to communicate with Him. It's simple, really. It's much simpler than I communicate to you today. I really want to thank our AV team, as they've done this week and every week, that getting this out to you, transmitting this. They said they were they worked through some difficulties today, and I thought to myself, they must have read the notes to my sermon, just like the children's story person did, because I was thinking of them today when I put together this quick slide on how the internet works. Let's look into that, shall we? Well, first you have your PC or your phone or your iPad, and it goes to your router, which should be fine unless it doesn't have the green light on. Then you might need to turn it off or on, or maybe tap on the side once or twice. Hopefully using the right RS-232 cabling going through the network to the internet and to something. It actually is so big it's not even in the screen. Something that they call the cloud. And the cloud in this diagram is kind of small, but really the cloud is probably 100 million times larger than anything else in the diagram. And it somehow transmits back here, as long as our router's working and the Wi-Fi's up and we didn't forget the two or three passwords we needed to get in. Well, you get the idea. Communications in this world, it's fantastic we could reach across the world, but it's still not easy. It's full of complications. But communicating with our Lord Jesus Christ is simple. All we have to do is focus on our Heavenly Father and pray. He is there waiting to connect with us, available at any time. We could take to Him all the complexities of the world to have Him guide us when we feel lost amongst all the distractions. You know, if you've been watching week to week, you were with us last week when Weston Mendoza gave a great testimony last week. It was wonderful. Where he stated the main point of his testimony is that you must love your God with all your might, not halfway. And really, that's the first and greatest commandment. The amazing Wallace family then told us in their children's story about helping Venezuelans with new backpacks while living in Ecuador that they could use for the arduous trip back home. That wonderful family displayed the second commandment in Christ's example: love your neighbor as yourself. Those were both two strong, unique stories, yet they followed simple commands through difficult obstacles to achieve oneness with God and really oneness with their brothers and sisters. The many paths we take here on earth are pretty complicated. It makes me think about driving through the LA Basin. Why don't we take a look at, for example, the best way to get to Norwalk? Anyone ever been to Norwalk? From Santa Clarita. If you take a look at my map, and there it is. And really, it's kind of a simplified map, and it's yet still not that simple. But from my best experience, you would take the 5 to the 170, and then you would go down the 170, and actually the 170 turns into 101. Don't turn off. It's going to turn into the 101. And then you cut back on to the 110 to get around traffic, and then you get back on the 5, and the next thing you know, you're back in Norwalk. Easy peasy, right? You know, while I describe that, my car used 10 gallons of gas, just talking about it. And really, you probably use the better part of your day, depending on what time of day you're getting to that. Well, we've seen from the Bible that the path to the kingdom of heaven is pretty direct. It made me think of Jacob's ladder that Jacob experienced in Genesis 28, 10 through 15. And that's Genesis chapter 28, 10 through 15. Jacob left Beersheba and set out for Haran. When he reached a certain place, he stopped for the night because the sun had set. Taking one of the stones there, he put it under his head and lay down to sleep. He had a dream in which he saw a stairway resting on the earth, and in its top reaching to heaven, and the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. There above stood the Lord, and he said, "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham and the God of Isaac. I will give you and your descendants the land on which you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the east and to the west, to the north and to the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. I am with you and will watch over you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land. I will not leave you until I have done what I promised you." I love this passage. I went a little further than I originally planned to, because it made me think of a lot of things. It made me think of the fabulous promise that God gave to Jacob and the Israelites, which is really a promise to us. And he put him at peace, which he tries to do for us when we're out sleeping on a rock in the middle of nowhere. There's just one pathway to the King of the Angels, illustrated so well in this dream. We should see that there is only one way to that ladder, and that's through Jesus Christ. You know, though our relationship with Christ is our own, we don't have to go it alone. And that's where your church family comes in. I think to myself, and I hope you think to yourself, what can we do here with the blessings we've had of the people all attending today and those in our community and those that we know who might benefit from a wonderful service like this every week? We should build the family of God. You know, when I was introduced to the Adventist faith about 30 years ago, I got used to using a term I really had never used before, greeting all those that I ran into church, or really whenever I talked about God with others outside of church, just out in the world. And that was to call all of you my brother and sister. Good morning, brother. Happy Sabbath, sister. It just came naturally. I really had never felt a sense of family as strongly as I did. I think a lot of growing up in a very small town, I most likely had half the town be my cousin. So it really had a sense of family growing up. And really this church and the greater church gives that sense of an even closer relationship as brother and sister. The work done to maintain this family feel, even through this time of distancing in this church, is nothing short of remarkable. It's as if the Lord's hands are in on this. And you know what? His hands are in on this. So my brothers and sisters, I ask all those visiting today, all those who have not looked into the many things we have going on here at church, even during this time of distancing, stay connected with us. Take a look around the website you're on today. You're on it. Take a look around and reach out to us. We want you to be a part of this family. For one by one, we could form this church to be greater, more than anything this building can do. And we can do it as brothers and sisters in Christ. Life is complicated, but the path through it, though narrow, is simple. God doesn't ask for a lot, but what he does is a big ask. Let's answer together his call in Micah chapter 6, verse 8. It's Micah chapter 6, verse 8. And it reads as follows. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. You know, we all long for a simpler day. But really, that simpler day has never been here on earth. For the simpler day of peace awaits us in the world to come. So what can we do in the meantime? It's simple. Let love win. Let love win. For God is love.